So here's this week. So this week's session, we're going to be talking about how to solve your pressing sales and marketing problem. How do you solve your most pressing sales and marketing problems? And so we started by talking about what you're going to be doing to maximize your sales. You should be able to look at your whatever you're doing. And if you look at the things we're going to be talking about in this session, you should be able to then look at your business broadly. And you should be able to say, this is where I am not doing well, this is where I'm lacking, and then to apply it to your business. So we're going to be doing a 50,000 foot view of this, but these principles are so fundamental and they're so solid that even as a coach, if you have people that you are coaching in marketing and in business, and you are not working under this framework in some frame of mind, you need to add this to the framework that you are teaching. So these are going to be things we're going to be adding to, you know, our business on a regular basis, looking to analyze our business on a regular basis. We all want to maximize sales. So whatever you're measuring, at some level, you have to maximize sales. If your sales are not where you want them to be, even if your sales are at zero and you want them to be something, that means you've got to be able to look at this structure and say, how can I apply this structure to what I am doing? And so every business has to be looking to maximize sales. Question then is, how do you change that? So whether you're at a certain level and you want to grow to another level, or you're at zero and you want to grow to a minimum level, we need to talk about how you can change that result. And so there's a formula that you can look to, and that's what strategic marketing is. And we're going to be asking you a series of questions in order to think through this. And if you think through this list of questions at any time in your business, at any time, you should be able to think through the process and then to increase your sales. These questions will also help you diagnose what may be going wrong. So if you have something you need to fix, if you will stop and ask yourself, or stop and give your business this quiz and give yourself this list of questions, you will be able to increase your sales. You'll be able to increase the sales of other people that you're coaching, and you'll be able to figure out what you're going to need to change it. So here's some ground rules. I spoke with one person this week, and this is really where that person really needs to start. Are you tracking your sales? Bar none, before you do anything, are you tracking your sales, and are you tracking the numbers that lead to your sales? Because if you're not, that's really going to be a starting place, because even if you're tracking sales, there's not going to be anything in any way you can fix anything until you know from start to finish where people are getting started, where they end up, and why they are or are not buying. So you have to be tracking sales. And so this is a ground rule. So before we can even get to the framework, the ground rule for the framework is you have to be tracking. And you really should have one tracking system, not 10. One tracking system and not 5. One tracking system and not, you know, not a gazillion, but you have to be tracking. I would say that if you have 3 tracking systems, that's better than having none. But if you have 1 tracking system, that's better than having 3. So if you are not tracking where and how that customer is getting to you and what they're doing when they get there, you have to start that today. So because without that, you don't really know how to improve your sales or anything else that's leading to the sale. You can use sales as a barometer, right? And you can still apply the framework we're going to be talking about. But if that's all you do, you're still going to leave money on the table because you won't know exactly what to fix and where to get started first. And so we want to make sure we're clear, you know, on these things after we have set tracking. So if you don't know anything else about tracking, you should set up Google Analytics, right? So if you don't have anything else, and you don't really have another alternative, and you don't have a reason that you should not use Google Analytics, then you probably want to start with Google Analytics. Now, you may have other tools that you use. You may have better tools that you use. If you have them and you have them in place and they are working on your site and helping you to track the people that are coming to you and determining whether or not they buy, that's a good system. It is working. Keep it. But if you do not have anything and you don't know how to implement a system and you have not yet put one in place, start with Google Analytics until you get one. And so as we go through this process, again, just think through these issues, but start with a tracking system. Okay, so again, now if you don't have one, the simplest one to put in place is Google Analytics. You need to have something that'll tell you, hey, my traffic is coming from here and they're getting to this page, but they're not buying. And so so here's an example of what I mean by that. Let's say that on Tuesday, you had 100 people come to your sales page, but you don't know where those 100 people came from. And you know you were doing stuff on Facebook, and you also know you were doing stuff on Twitter. So what you would do then is you would go back to Facebook and Twitter thinking, well, I got to split my time there. When really, maybe most of the activity and most of the people that came to your sales page really came to you from Facebook. And so maybe what you need to do if you've got finite amount of time is what? You spend the time at Facebook because that's where the people are coming from. So you've got to really get a handle on what's happening on your site, what's happening in your business, where the people are coming from, and what they are doing. How many new leads and prospects are coming into your business? So that's something that you have to track also. Before you even get to sales, you've got to know whether or not those sales are coming from people who are cold to you, they don't know you, or whether or not these are going to be people that found their way into your opt-in system and they read your email or they came to your social media and they've been listening to you for a while and they decide to buy. Those are two different kinds of customers. And even if you're starting at zero customers, even if you're starting at zero sales, it's going to be helpful when you start getting sales. Understand what your autoresponder is doing. Some of you who operate and use AWeber, AWeber has tracking. I don't know if other autoresponders have tracking to speak of. I know some of them do, but AWeber has a bona fide tracking system that you can implement onto your website. And again, you might not use AWeber. I'm just highlighting them because if you have them and if you use them, you have a tracking system built into your autoresponder. Develop multiple lists for multiple purposes. Now, these days, what companies are doing, like AWeber and MailChimp and larger autoresponders, is they are allowing you to tag people when they come into your opt-in list. So in other words, the way now to use a mailing list or use an autoresponder the way that the company wants you to use it, what AWeber, GetResponse, MailChimp, ActiveCampaign, ConvertKit, what they want you to do is to have one list and multiple tags. So in other words, they don't want you to have 3 or 4 or 5, 10,000 lists, the way that's kind of old school. Their preference is, and really the way they designed the system, is for you to be able to tag someone with a specific tag that will tell you exactly how they came to you, but to only be operating under one list, so that when you get ready to segment your list, you segment them according to tag. So multiple lists according to multiple purposes, you can still do that. It's easy to understand, it's easy to implement, but it's old school, right? The way people want you to operate now is to have one list and to have multiple tags, right? So make sure that you understand how to use the tagging systems. And that might take you some time to understand how to do. It's going to be the best way of operating your autoresponder going forward. The tagging system allows you to do things that are a lot more sophisticated and do things according to your user's activity when you're using tags. It's almost impossible to do that if you have multiple lists. They're not made for that. So when you can, stop and understand. Whatever autoresponder you're using, go to the point where you understand their tagging and automation and really understand how that works. You can begin implementing that in your own business. You should be able to take your autoresponder systems and ask the question or answer the question, how long does it take somebody to become a buyer? Somebody buys from you, they come become part of your list, when are they going to buy? You ought to be able to determine that. How good are you at turning those prospects, the people that opt into your list, into customers? You know, are you a good email marketer? Are you a good social media person? Are you a good webinar person? What's working? And so you've got to be tracking these things in order to determine this, and you need to be able to answer this question. Because whatever you're good at, you have to do more of. Whatever you get good at, you have to get more of. Or sometimes what it means is you might need to become a better email marketer, and instead of, let's say, going to get instruction on other things, you might want to go and seek someone out to teach you how to be a good email marketer if that's what you need to do. But you can't tell that if you're not tracking. You should know what activity is causing your leads and what happens to them once they become customers. And, you know, when you figure out, do more of what is giving you the best results. Remember, everybody here is old enough to know what the 80-20 rule means, that 20% of your activity is going to bring you 80% of your revenue. It pretty much is going to be that case. So whatever is bringing you sales or leads, probably only 20% of the stuff you're doing on a day-to-day basis are going to make those things happen. You need to do more of that and less of the things that are not bringing you the results that you need. So now here's the first of the questions. We talked about it in the last session in terms of adding one of these to your product. Now, you should always be able to ask yourself, do you have a USP? Do you have a USP at the product level? Do you have a USP for your brand? Do you have a USP for how you operate? Wherever you can put that USP so that there's something unique that people need, you need to be putting it there. So that's always a question that you answer. So if you're not getting the sales that you want, is there something different about you than everybody else that's giving information? That's everybody else that's a coach, that everybody else that's talking about internet marketing, that everybody else who's a teacher? Is there something that people can get from you that they cannot get from other people? So you've got to have, your products have to have, your brand has to have a unique selling proposition. Is there a reason to buy that product over and above similar ones that are going to be just like it? Is there a reason to buy from you? Do you have a USP? Is there something about you, meaning is there something about you that I should come to you for something that I can't get elsewhere? Without some reason for your customer to buy a specific product, you will be competing on the basis of price typically. That's not going to be all the time, or you're going to have to be first. Now, sometimes, you know, on the internet, it's hard to be first. And so you end up having to compete on the basis of price, but you don't want to be competing there because that's a slippery slope. And typically, if you start competing on price, you never get out of the cycle. You will basically always remain there if that's what you're going to be doing. Basically, what you got to do is understand whatever the customer's challenge is, try to solve that. So however you solve it is typically going to be your USP. Even if you're delivering something that's not solving a specific customer problem, you have to understand that customer well enough to know, okay, what are they really trying to do and what can I uniquely do to solve it? And if you can do that, you're going to be able to develop a USP. So don't develop a USP by just saying that you're different. Develop a USP based on the unique way you solve a problem. So maybe you're going to be, you know, an SEO consultant. Well, how do you deliver SEO services that's not like everybody else? What are you doing for somebody that everybody else does not do? What do you do to go the extra mile for people that other people do not do, cannot do, just will not ever do? And so we've got to be communicating whatever that is throughout the, you know, throughout the sales process. Now, you should be doing this. You can implement this right now, obviously, but you should be implementing this over time, right? So this is a short and long-term strategy. Question two, do your customers have multiple opportunities to buy? Seems like a simple question, one that most people do not answer in the affirmative. Do you have multiple opportunities for your customer to buy from you? And typically I'm talking about the customers that you already have. You should have at the point of sale, and we all understand this as information marketers typically. We understand what it means to have a funnel so that at the point of sale, your customer is probably going to see more than one offer. Hopefully, if you've already gone through step two, you've already set up an offer where your customer is going to see at least two offers when they first buy from you. If they buy the front-end product, they're also going to see that offer for your learning center. They're going to see that. So at the point of sale, you and I have to have those other things that are going to enhance the buying process. And so we need to make sure that those things are in close proximity, that they're easy to find, and that they're easy for people to buy. And so if you do that, you're typically going to be able to increase your sales with your existing customers. But you've also got to have levels. So in other words, when somebody buys something from you, they got to be able to go up another level. So in other words, if they get all the results they can from what they've bought from you, where do you go? Where do you take them from there? Can you take them to another level? And of course, now I don't have it here in my presentation. We talked about it last week. You should be having a continuity offer at minimum. continuity offer will cover a multitude of sins. Trust me. You may not have a good upsell. You may not have levels. You may have steps that people can take up. But if you have a continuity offer, you can get by with not having those things. Regardless of how you do, whether it's continuity, whether or not it's a level, or whether or not it's an upsell, your customer's got to be able to find it. If somebody comes to your thank you page, are your other offers easy to find? If someone comes to your homepage and they go to the products menu, are they going to be able to find your other products? So wherever your customer is going to be, those products should be easy to find. Question three. We've got two more questions, and this is question three. Do you have a way of contacting your customer? Now, this is something that information marketers already know. You should have some kind of contact database, right? Do you have a way of contacting your customers? I'm not talking about prospects right now. I'm talking about contacting your customers. And a number of people, and I talk to them all the time, typically information marketers are ahead of this when it comes to doing this than brick and mortar business owners are, typically. Not all the time, but they are. You need to have a way of being able to get in touch with the people that's buying from you. Do you have a way of contacting your prospects too? And so if you don't, that's something fixable. That's something that you and I need to fix today. And it really needs to be fixed as soon as possible, because this is the way that you are going to get your most robust sales. There's no better traffic than the traffic you send to your sales page from your existing customers and from the people that have already opted in from your list, from your email list. There's not going to be any better traffic. So if you're trying to learn SEO, you're trying to learn how to do social media, you're trying to learn YouTube like I am, whatever you're trying to learn, there's not going to be a better source of traffic than your email list. So if you haven't developed that, this is something that you must do as soon as possible. And even before you figure out all the rules of developing it, please set one up and start trying to get people on it. Whether you take a course or not, whether you use a method or not, start trying to get people onto your marketing list. So whenever somebody comes to us, we've got to collect their contact information. Why? Because they're not going to always be ready to buy when they first meet us. And it doesn't matter how cool you are or how great your offer is. And hopefully you're doing a weekly workshop. Typically, when you teach somebody and they really like what you taught them, they may or may not be ready to buy from that call. But if you will then say to them, hey, you know what? I've got something really cool for you if you go to this page. Or if you want to find out about our next workshop, go to this page and put in your name and email address, blah, 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 blah. Right? Whatever you say. All I'm trying to say to you is that this activity is something that you should be putting people onto your list on a daily basis. Dan Kennedy says, and I agree with him, that you and I should not go to bed until we've done something to get new business. And that basically means build your list. And so if you have not done something concretely today in order to get people onto your prospect or customer list, then we have to stay up until that happens. Right? That might sound a little harsh. And I don't really care. Even if you have products that are launching, building your lead list is something totally different. If you get lazy and you think, well, I'm just going to launch products and I'm going to build my customer list that way, that's great. It's a good buyer's list. But still, any system in which you are generating sales can end tomorrow. But if you will get good at generating leads, you'll always have sales. Now, we should have a way of contacting people that have already purchased from us. We should be in contact with them on a regular basis. I can almost promise you your list is going to forget about you if you think you're going to just contact them whenever you want to or whenever you think you have something cool. The reason I say that is not because I'm cynical. It's just because there's too much noise in the marketplace and people are generally paying attention to the squeaky wheel, the one who gets into their inbox. Now, again, I mean, you may have a great relationship with your customer. You just aren't going to be able to make a lot of sales if you're not talking to your customer on an everyday basis. Now, I'm not saying that every day you've got to pitch, right? Maybe some days you're going to be giving value and invite people and teach them something. That's going to be your choice and how you tend to relate to the people who are part of your subscriber list. But you should be in contact with these people every day. Listen, And I know you're not Amazon or Walmart or anybody like that, but Amazon, Walmart email twice, three times, four times a day, right? And I'm not saying that you have to compare yourself to them, but they're emailing every day because that's how they generate sales. Now, are you going to lose some people? Are some people going to say, ah, you know what, man, this guy, this woman, they're always emailing me. All they want to do is to buy stuff. Well, yeah, I do, right? Yeah, of course, that's what you want. And people are going to leave your list, but that's okay, because if they're going to be on there and you can't ask for the sale and you can't ask for it on a regular basis, then why do you have them on there? What good are they doing on there? You're not benefiting them and they're not benefiting you. Now, you should be picking things to promote to them. You should be picking things to show them. You should have things to teach them and really sell to them that are going to be worth their time. So the way you counterbalance that, don't promote things and don't offer them things that are going to waste their time. So even if they decide not to buy, everything you show them should be something good. This has been a really different kind of year because I've really almost decided in a lot of ways that I have bypassed a lot of people in my market or niche, bypassed a lot of software offers, and just really bypassed things that in the past I might have made the case that it could have been good. It's just, man, it has nothing to do with me being scared to lose people. It's just, I just don't want to waste people's time anymore. And that's one way to counterbalance, you know, the feeling that, well, why are you sending email every day? Well, you need to have something to say every day. And when you make an offer, it ought to be worth your time. So try to offset this by saying to yourself that if it's not worth your time, I'm not going to send it. Even if you have somebody who is a marketing partner who says, I think this would be a good fit for your list. I'll tell you this, get in the habit of being able to have a relationship with a marketing alliance or a partner or even somebody who is above your level, being able to say no to that person. Because you might feel like, I've got to say yes because in order to partner with this person, you know, they're not going to want to partner with me. They're not going to want to send my offer out as an affiliate. You're probably right about that. Some people are going to say to you that they're not going to want to partner with you. They're not going to want to promote you as an affiliate. They're not going to want to work for you. They're not going to bring you on their podcast because you turned them down. I will say to you that even in that respect, the relationship that you build and the trust that you build with the people that are part of your subscriber list are more important than that partner. It may not seem like it, and in some ways, there's a tipping point at which the partner could bring you more dollars and cents than the people that are on your subscriber list at this point. But if you will be in the habit of only saying yes to those things that are right in terms of how you think your list needs it, in terms of how you want to operate, you will always be in a good position with the right people. I say that because it will come up in your business. We've got to always be thinking about things that are going to be in their best interest, right? That's basically how you want to operate, you know, your contact database. Now, right now, email is still dependable. Don't believe that it's going to be there forever. When I'm not one of these people that ever said that Messenger is going to take over and texting is going to take over. I never said anything that crazy. However, here's what I will tell you. If you're going to be in this business another 10, 15, 20 years, if you're going to be in business another 10, 15, 20 years, you need to bulletproof your list. And the only way you can bulletproof your email list is you eventually need to have a snail mail list. If you have a contact list and it is backed up, that is a great part of your marketing and sales system. I would say eventually, if you can get it, if you can figure it out, if you can work it into your business, also work in that you can also have a snail mail list. And let's just leave it at that. Now, here's question number four. Do you partner with others? Do you partner up with others? Are you working with people to partner in your marketplace to grow your customer base? Here's what a partner is, right? Broadly defined. It's a business that has the same customer base but doesn't compete with you. However you define that. So basically what you're looking to do with a partner, right? Again, I'm not talking about a partner in the absolute sense. I'm talking about a partner in the broadly defined sense. You need to be trading endorsements. That's what you're doing with a partner. So in other words, the partner's going to say, Diane's a good person. And then that partner's going to say, Wayne's a good person, right? Diane's going to say, Wayne's a good person. So basically, however you do it, now you can do that through a product promotion. You can do that through a list promotion. You can do that through a podcast. You can do that through an interview. You can do that any way that you want. But basically, you need to have ways to build your network where people are doing what other people call putting you on. So in other words, you want people to put you on stage and to say to their customer base, this is a trustworthy marketer, one that you should be doing business with, some way or the other, whatever your business is. You need to have people who are going to do that for you. And obviously, you need to be doing that for other people. You can add a financial incentive by making sure that they get a commission. So, you know, the easy way to do that is to make it an affiliate arrangement. That doesn't mean that you can have everybody in the world to be your affiliate, but you can make it into an arrangement. Who in your market, right, would be willing to partner with you in order to build their customer base? Now, again, I want you to think back through the four questions that we've asked. Of all of the questions that we have asked, you might think that the other things are a little abstract. You can see them, but they're abstract. You can expand your customer base tomorrow if you find the right person to partner with, or if you find the right person to decide to promote you to their email marketing list. You could do that tomorrow. And so building relationships is as old as, you know, as old as dirt, but it still works. And this is all that is finding the right people who will put you on. And so you can be looking for people to put you on, and quite honestly, you have to make it a discipline. So whatever you have as part of your project list, whatever you have as part of your to-do list, I mean, I don't know how you do your to-do list, but if you have a recurring task, you should be adding to that recurring task, looking for partners, making a concrete effort to contact somebody to get a feel for whether or not this is going to be somebody who can either you can put on to your list and they can put you onto theirs. And then the only way you're going to do this is if you make a habit out of this. There's a book written by, I think it was Harvey McKay. It's called Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty. That's really what this concept is. You build partnerships before you need them. You build relationships before you need them. That's the only way that this happens. And what happens on the internet in particular, what happens to information marketers, we get so busy with our stuff that we forget that this is still a relationship business. And so you still have to, on a regular basis, and I don't care how busy you are. I don't care how much you have in terms of your social media schedule. I don't care how much you have to do with your page building. Doesn't matter how much you have to do with your email, all those other things. You had better make time in your day to be relating to somebody who could be a potential partner. And there's no easy way to do that. You do it the same way you do it in the real world. Most people who have come to information marketing have come from, you know, some kind of real world or physical world scenario. Well, how did you build relationships there? Well, you're going to have to build in the same way as an information marketer, regardless of what your market or niche is. Easiest way I know to build some of those relationships, here's a sneaky tip here. How many of you all have an interview show? Here's what you are going to do. Interview your potential partners. Interview your potential customers or clients, right? Start there. So even before you start going to get whoever the Oprah is in your niche, whoever the Tony Robbins is in your niche, whoever the Russell Brunson is in your niche, those are all great people to get on your show. Before you do that, how you fill up your guest list is this. Fill up your guest list with people who you could potentially partner with. Now, you're not going to tell them, hey, you know, I'm interviewing with you because I really want to partner with you. No, what you want to do is you want to get them on your show. You want to serve them. You want to promote them. And then in the course of that conversation, you want to find out what they're doing, and you want to find out, you know, if they've got some interest in what you're doing. You're just going to build relationships, but you build relationships with those people by serving them first. And you can serve them first by doing this. You serve them first by bringing them on some kind of interview show where you promote them and make them look good. Now, in terms of a strategy of finding partners, right? If you feel like that's something you can do, please put the number 5 in the question box. How many of y'all could do that? That's something anybody on this call should be able to do. Interview your potential partners. Interview your potential clients, right? If you have clients that you're after. Last question. How can you benefit another company and build your customer base at the same time, right? So who would you put on your thank you page? Who would put you on their thank you page, right? That's how you think about this. So those are the 4 questions. And you should be able to answer or ask any of those 4 questions because they're part of any marketing system. And so if you have unique products, they're going to be more desirable. That was step 1, unique selling proposition. You should have upsells and cross sells. Step 2, that's your product line. Step 3, right? Customer database. Step 4, right? Partnering with people, right? And if you will do this at every step of the way, you are going to be able to maximize your activity and your income. Right? If you're not having the results that you're having right now, right? Go back through this checklist. Now, this is a marketing framework. This is a way for you to think through your marketing and your sales so that you can increase them at any time. You should be able to take this, I would say, take this presentation and go through this once a month and ask yourself these 4 questions, or just write these 4 questions down. Let them pop up on your tickler system if you have one. Let them pop up on your task system. Have these 4 questions to appear to you every month and start looking through them and start saying, do I have something unique in my product line? Am I building my list? Do I have upsells and cross sells? Am I partnering up with people? And so if you're not doing those things, are you putting yourself in a position to do those things? Right? Because if you do those things, you're going to be able to increase sales at any point in time that you want. Any questions?